Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You wouldn't want to lose control on the wet on a racetrack, but that was what was going on at Topo International Motorsport last weekend in the opening race day, Race 7, Repco Supercars. But it's time to reflect on the return of supercars. And the woman behind the return of supercars and her tracks that she runs, which is Hampton Downs, Highlands, and Topo International Motorsport Park, is the CEO of all of those, Josie Spillane, and she joins us this morning. Morning to you, Josie.
Good morning.
Hey, can I ask a question? Murph said on Speed, Josie Spillane. Now, what's going on? Am I getting it wrong?
No, not really. Basically, it's my married name, but it turns out that I've been getting it wrong for about 15 years. So my husband says Spillane, but I say Spillane. Either or.
thanks for the late heads up. Okay, so it's Josie Spillane. Okay, to be fair, Josie, I like Spillane, but we'll just move on.
No problem.
Congratulations on a magnificent event at Topo International Motorsport Park. Over 67,000 supercar fans turned up in weather that they didn't care about, and it really was a spectacle. When you reflect on the work that it took to get there, what sticks out for you?
Look, it's so hard. I think, we're still on a high. I'm soaring with the eagles still at the moment. It's the people, when I think about it and I see, like, Facebook and all of the socials are still just lighting up with feedback. And, so often these days, that can actually be a place where, your keyboard warriors are alive and well. And the absolute love and excitement and passion that's been shown through all of the channels is just amazing. And for me, it comes down to the fact that we worked with some outstanding organisations and the people that are in them, starting from the Supercars team, into the local Taupo District Council. You've then got our small but mighty teams in New Zealand. You then have major events, the government, and, the two there, Kylie Hawker-Green and Michael Kelly. They were just outstanding in bringing us all together in the early days. And then you go to the motorsport community and the suppliers and the contractors, and then the 67,000 race fans who, as you said, fronted it in all of the conditions. It's the people and it's the memories that we've made.
So when you look back right at the beginning, when you got the nod and the government said, actually, yeah, we think this is going to be economically beneficial for the region, what was the first thing that went through your mind? Oh, gosh, now we've got to do it?
No, not at all. It was like, let's get going.
Oh.
I've never, ever, ever doubted that we couldn't do this. And it just feels so satisfying to show all of the people who have said for a reasonably long time since Tony built Highlands and Cromwell, it was felt wonderful to show them that when we say we're going to do something, we'll give it our best shot and we'll do it.
When we talk about man hours, and I was down there two weeks in a row, about a week out from it, 2 weeks out from it, and just watching them build stands and change pit lane exits, all the things that were required to make it a successful event. What sort of man hours were thrown at that over the whole preparation?
Oh, countless, to be honest. You couldn't clock out the amount of hours that, and you know, people have put into, but they were working from, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning through to 1 a.m. at night. Not all at once, but the different teams, and you know, there's three people that haven't had a huge amount of mention, but by goodness, did they put in, you know, amazing, amazing effort. And that's Martin Collins, who's our track manager at Taupo, Chanel Barrett, who was the New Zealand event manager on the ground, who was from Taupo and employed by Supercars, and Phil Shaw, who's the general manager of Supercars operations. Three outstanding people who just did whatever it took to make this happen and lead the more than capable people that just, you know, marched to battle with them and said, let's show the world, really, what we can do in New Zealand, in Taupo, for motorsport.
And Josie, I read that Martin's decided to pull the pin, which I came as quite a shock to me.
Yeah.
Because you lose a good one there.
Look, comes as a shock to you. Try being me 2 weeks before the event, but Marty's retiring and he's not going anywhere. He's 65. He's an outstanding human, but his wife Lee and his daughter Alicia, they need their husband and dad, so he's going to, you know, I'm like, oh, you bugger. He's going out on a high, and yeah. I've still got to come back and deliver this and raise the bar next year. But he's going to give us 20 hours a week behind the scenes, not customer-facing, but he just needs to take the time to be a husband and dad. And now it's time for somebody else to come along full of energy and talent and passion and join the team and take us on the next chapter of our supercar journey, because this book's just only getting started, yeah. My friend.
Got to say, I looked at it and my eyebrows raised when I looked at the application. Okay. One of the outstanding parts for me is always logistics. And I looked at the way parking and buses and everything done to get people in and out of the venue was done. And I will be honest with you, I thought it was flawless. How long did it take to figure that plan out, or was it very simple?
Look, that was Chanel Barrett, you know, full credit to her and the local contractors, Arthur Jelly, who did our traffic management in Taupo, and then humans, and then to the race fans, for them using their brains, for them appreciating that they were coming to a major event and that things were going to take a little bit longer than the normal 2 minutes to get around town. Everybody just was alive with common sense. So that's what made a huge difference. But I have to tell you, we'd talk about it, you'd look out and you'd go, oh, there's an entire town out there. Holy cow. And then you'd go, you know what? You just have to trust the process and trust the people. And that's what we did. And truly, you know, working together as a team, if it was Supercars Lane, we were like, yep, what they say goes. They know what they're doing. If it was ours, it was our lane and they respected us. That's how it needed to be. If it was the motorsport side, you know, with Motorsport Australia, my goodness, we learned so much from them. And then the local, you know, Taupo Car Club and all of the officials that they provided on the ground, they really raised the bar and showed that they were also worthy of putting on this, you know, world-class event. So it was pretty special.
You never get everything right. When you look at what needs to improve, what has come out of the wash?
Look, we need to get a bit better with people leaving the park. You know, we're going to sit down and talk about that. You know, what can we do to help people getting out of the motorsport park work better? We need to figure out where we're going to put a few more people. We've got more space for camper vans, so I would encourage anybody, if you don't want to get caught in the traffic next year, get yourself a motorhome and come and stay at the Oval Campground. But, you know, really, all in all, it was a fantastic, fantastic base to start with. I am going to pick up the phone and call Mother Nature and just call in a favour. I'd really appreciate it not being torrential rain on a Saturday. But look, we're very satisfied with how the first win went, and now we focus on how do we raise the bar, what are we going to do differently for next year, and then, you know, perhaps let's go double or nothing.
Yeah, well, you beat me to it, Jose. Come on. Because you're just teasing me now, but that was the talk coming out of it. Anton De Pasquale was noted in the press saying, I'd love to stay and do an extra round here, whether it be a week or a fortnight later. For me, I'm thinking a week would be potentially plenty of time, but maybe it's just a logistical thing and numbers. Okay, so the talk, Josie, was that, you know, a round at Highlands would be epic, the way that track is laid out and for supercars. But I have to ask you a question. Because it was built by Tony over a couple of wines and a drawing on paper to have all his favourite corners, does it not have to be FIA approved? And is it FIA approved to run a supercars round?
Yeah, so thank you, because there's such mistruths out there about the circuits. All three of our circuits are FIA 3, graded 3, which is what supercars needs to run on.
Okay.
And all three of the circuits have the consents in place to run a supercars round. So I will say that Tony is quoted recently about talking about the fact that a lot of people talk the talk, but we're very proud of the fact that we walk the talk. So we're very enthusiastic about a second round. We have another two circuits that are equally special but different, but watch this space. 25 will still be Taupo, but then we're very focused for 26 for there to be a double header in New Zealand, and, you know,
oh, okay, okay. So you put that
I
one.
I think it would be appropriate to come south.
Yes, well, no, but I'm glad you put that one to bed early and saying 26 and not 25, and cut off all expectation for a double round in 2026. The fact that we had a Kiwi win first race, could you believe that on Dry Heimgartner? I mean, was that just every dream come true?
It was, and Andre, or Andrea, as I like to call him, is an outstanding human. And if there was a person on that circuit who deserved that on Saturday, it was him. And that was just one of the most special moments of the weekend for me. I was lucky enough to be in the garage with his parents and his fiance, and I'm not going to forget that for a very, very long time. That is a young man who deserved that top step on the podium very, very much. And great for Brad Jones Racing as well. You know, there's a little engine that could.
Yeah, of course. Now, have you got time for a chat, or you've got to go to a service at Bannockburn, or have you done the Bannockburn service?
I've just finished it. And you know what? I was reflecting. It's the second time in as many days that I've heard the New Zealand and the Australian anthem, and they were both equally as special. So it was a wonderful moment this morning being up at Bannockburn at the Cenotaph and just remembering what so much sacrifice others have gone through for us to be able to live in this beautiful country and live these wonderful lives. So it was a very poignant moment this morning.
Do you have a connection to any of the wars that have been fought in our lifetime?
No, Stephen, I don't. But I reflect on every year, you know, there's a little bit piece of your heart that breaks when you go to these services and you see the servicemen, that they just, the numbers get smaller and smaller. And I just hope that they know the depths of the gratitude of the people in this country for the sacrifice that they made for us to be able to have this life. They're real heroes. We happened to put on a race meeting that did pretty well, but they're the heroes.
Well, I'm going to take this conversation on a little bit of a different tangent, because a lot of people just look at what is done around you, the three tracks that you are in charge of, and say, wow, how good is that? But someone has to lead that and also sacrifice a family life with a beautiful family. That's Josie Spillan. I don't know if I can say that all the time, Josie. Josie Spillan. But what I want to know is, how did you get to where you are? Was motorsport something that was in your DNA, or is it just something that popped up?
Oh, anyone who knows me will be snickering that you've asked me if motorsport's in my DNA. When I started, I was probably the least motorsport person you could find on the face of the earth. It's how did I end up here? I've always had people in my career. I've been very lucky that took a chance on me, that probably gave me more opportunity than I was quite ready for, but then have backed me to the absolute hilt. And it started off, and I won't take you on a 2-hour journey, but my father and my mother have always had an incredible work ethic, and they've always made sure that my brother and I know that there's nothing more important to them than us. And then I married a wonderful man who works harder than anybody I know. And then I have been supported by Kay Parker in my Cure Kids days when I worked for not-for-profit. She gave me a wonderful insight into ensuring to have empathy as a leader. And then I happened to come along a man called Tony Quinn. I sat on the banks of Highlands when they opened with my husband and my daughter, Georgia, who was 3 at the time. And I said, I can't believe I'm not part of this. I had no idea what the cars were doing, but it felt special and I wanted to be part of it. So I rang them on the Monday and I said, have you got any jobs going? And they said, no, I got a reasonably snippy no. But then 6 weeks later, I got a phone call to come and meet a guy called Tony Quinn. And I left with a job selling the signage and developing the membership. And the rest, as they say, is history.
Wow.
With a fantastic group of people, including my husband. And I just couldn't do it without him or the teams that we have around us. We work hard, but we're so immensely proud of what we're doing. And it's a legacy, not only for TQ, but for the people in our teams who are giving way more than they get in return. And I'm immensely grateful for them.
You see, Josie, you are what I would consider, and this is not blowing smoke anywhere, you know, when you think of, when I in the industry think of Highlands and Hamptons and Taupo, you instantly think Josie Spillane's running the show, right? But a good CEO always puts a succession plan in place, even though they don't want to, because they're having such a good time. Are you that type of CEO?
Absolutely. You know, I always talk about the fact that we're only guardians. We're guardians of the sport and we're guardians of the circuits that we have the pleasure of being a part of. So, you know, Tony's, we're working through at the moment to ensure that the parks are protected in perpetuity, ensuring that long after he's gone, that there's still going to be 3 world-class facilities in New Zealand that have the funding to enable Kiwis to enjoy the sport that they're so passionate about. But it's also about ensuring that there's going to be people long after I'm gone that want to carry on the great work that we've started and make their own mark and truly make motorsport exceptional and change the landscape of how we experience it in New Zealand.
Because you are in motorsport, is it always a grind to look for sponsors, to convince people that just because people are putting, you know, now they're putting, you know, eco fuel in their cars or whatever, is it still a grind to convince people that this is a sport that truly can deliver so many good things in life?
Look, I think that's a piece that we're really working on, not only through the Tony Quinn Foundation, but also through the parks. But the young men and women that are the future of the racing fraternity, they're the ones that have to grind. They're the ones that have to go and knock on the doors. And that sponsorship dollar is a really competitive market. So there was a piece probably 2.5, we were in the middle of COVID, that we really started to decide that we needed to make the Hampton Downs Racing Academy a goer, and then that was going to find the talent for us to then be able to support with the Tony Quinn Foundation. So, you know, that foundation consists of Tony, obviously, Steve Horn, who, you know, is another gentleman that I would be remiss to not mention the generosity and the patience and the kindness and the knowledge that he has shared with me is outstanding. You've then got, you know, New Zealand's greatest motorsport opportunist, Daniel Gaunt, Greg Murphy, and John Gordon. And, you know, we make a really formidable team. It's not just about giving the boys and girls, you know, money and saying off you go. It's around a whole mentorship about connecting them with people overseas when they're heading overseas. Greg Russ helps us and yourself with the media training. It's about being a shoulder to lean on when times are a bit tough or the cards don't quite fall as they should on that, you know, that race meeting. And it's about creating an air of credibility for these young men too and women that if they're wearing the TQF brand, then they're worth backing. And how can we get on board? And that's what I love about this is the momentum that we are contributing to.
All right, two final questions, then you can get back to your family. How important was the word empathy when you were told that that's what makes a great leader?
It's everything. You only get one shot at this world. You need to leave it better than you found it. And if I can make people feel good about the fact that they've done something or they've had an experience at one of our circuits, you never know what road someone is walking. So,
okay, second and last question on this. Who's your favourite race car driver now that you're fully immersed?
Do you know what? No one's ever asked me that. My goodness, I don't know. I always tease the boys about being real-life race car drivers. Damon Leach.
Oh,
there you go.
Right, that's because he works for you, right?
Damon Leach.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, Josie, thanks so much for giving us your time on this Anzac Day, telling us what the Anzac Day means to you, and also congratulations once again on an absolute stunner of a return to New Zealand of Repco Supercars at Taupo International Motorsport Park.
No, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, there you go. Josie Spillane, the CEO of Taupo International Motorsport Park, Hampton Downs, and also Highlands International Motorsport Park. One very, very talented woman and CEO in this country, and we are blessed to have her in the world of motorsport. It is 10:23. If you went to supercars, what was it like? Tell me about your experience. I was there on the Sunday only and had an absolute blast, was working, but looked at that track and went, wow, how good is this? And supercars was cracking. So if you went to supercars, text me 8833 on the Timber Bedpost text line, or even ring me and tell you how good the experience was. 0800 150811.